He's whiny.
Yeah, like he sounds like such a bitch. So, I've been told, not by anyone, but I thought it was very funny that the very first video that I'm gonna put up with like Among advertising is called Pedophile Lottery. I was like, maybe. I think it's a pretty funny title. I can't remember the bit we did, but I do remember it being hilarious. So I was like, yeah, this seems like a good appropriate title. If it fits with our weird title thing, our weird title like streak here. Also, we have over 1,000 Spotify followers now.
Really?
Yeah.
I still don't understand, like why would you follow someone on Spotify?
Oh, just to, like, get instant, like, when we drop something new, you get automatic update. It tells you, like, a little notification pops up and says, like,
is our Spotify still growing? Because during that period where we, like, stopped uploading YouTube videos, they, like, raped us in the algorithm.
Yeah, they screwed us over in YouTube, but our Spotify is still growing.
Cool.
It is actually, let me see now. It did like slow down for a minute there when we were a little inconsistent, but
yeah.
But I mean, we saw like
we've been building up a backlog now too. This is what we got to do is gotta like.
So I dropped the Yap Chat episode yesterday, last night, and it has 200 listens, so it's like doing all right. And we have, you know, yeah. So we're doing pretty decently.
Nice. Okay.
But yeah, no, we're gonna be back in the saddle. Things calmed down a bit, so that was nice. And after Consensus, I'm like very much chilling. I've been like running around helping plan this e-girl party.
You want to talk about that any, or how's that going?
It's going pretty well. You know, could like every year Consensus, the people who throw the parties are like just out of town people, and they throw some boring shit. And since I actually live here, I was like, oh, what if we got like an actual like do like a little like proper party, like very awesome coded, and like get like local artists and like try to fill it with like people from around town and shit. And hopefully it worked out. We got a really cool venue. it's kind of it's like an artsy warehouse. Has a lot of space for a lot of people. We're getting DJs and shit lined up right now. It's not going to be Relady Rave type of shit. So, and like, it will be like actual dance music. So, ladies won't get like, you know, mocked at the second they walked in with the 200 BPM stuff that like Relady Raves like to do. Like, it's going
to
be actual.
Dude, I love that shit. That was like the only time I've gone to a rave of any variety within the last, like, I don't know, 5-8 years where I was like, oh, I like this.
So, I like hard techno stuff. So, like, that doesn't bother me. But like a lot of times, like the people,
it's too much
abrasive.
For women. Yeah, it feels like they feel like they're being whacked in the face, right? You need to sort of sensually lull the women in with a gradually progressing BPM.
Yeah, and like the thing is, also Austin's pretty big on like house and stuff like that, dance house type shit. So dance techno, whatever. I'm not good at EDM genres, but so like it'll be like proper dance music. Of various kinds, you know, especially because e-girl is not m'lady, right? It's more like a very more much more girl coded thing. Oh, I just dropped something.
How was the ratio actually at the first e-girl party? What did it look like?
Pretty good. It was close to 50-50. I mean, they did bring all the girls. They like let the girls in first. They had priority, obviously. And then after that, it was about 50-50. And you know, as the night progressed, it changed, obviously. But at first, it was very heavy girl. But the thing they fucked up at the e-girl party in New York is they underestimated how many people were interested in going, and their venue just didn't have the capacity for it. And the venue doesn't have like an open layout too. It's like a very like small Chinatown type of venue. So it just is like hard to like for a party that like, you know, was as big as it was just too small and too narrow like hallway wise. So I picked like an open, like an actual like open dance floor with an outside, all that kind of stuff. Like, and it's not going to get shut down because there's no noise ordinance. It's out in the warehouse area. So like, it should be good.
Their issue was kind of that They started the party before Chloe had her thing with Elon, right? So they didn't understand.
No, it was right after it. Oh, yeah, yeah. They started planning the party before that, yes.
Yeah, so they didn't understand that they were going to get this massive boost in publicity. And then they did, and they were like, it appears that maybe Elon Musk is going to bring to us more than 240 guests in attendance.
Yeah, like there was 250 people at the party said starting at 10. At 10 p.m. on the dot, there were 250 people outside already. So that was not like, yeah, they just did not think it through. But it's okay. This time, I mean, this venue can hold easily 500 people, and it's a late party. So like the way I planned it, or me and my friend Pete planned it, it's going to be like an after party. So like around 10 p.m. till 4, that kind of thing. So it should be okay. People should be done with their like official obligations. It'll probably be better than whatever the final party is, because those usually get packed out and usually suck anyway. So once people get to like whatever last consensus event they're going to go to, they're like, this place sucks, then they come to us and then it'll be better.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're taking the position that you always like to have, which is you are the final. You're the final one. You're the last in the night. You're the one saying, yes. We have to keep going. The night must go on, right?
Exactly. That is my goal.
This is your specific role in life, too. You're always the guy. You're always the guy at 7 in the morning saying, I think we can do another bar. It must continue. I think we can do another bar. And everyone's like,
we can do one more.
The bars have been closed for the last 5 hours. And you're like, well,
I got a guy.
Yeah, you're like,
I know a guy. Don't worry. Yeah, so that'll be my position here in Austin. I have not only picked an event that's going to go after hours, I also likely will be up afterwards and we'll know a guy. So hopefully, you know. And we got like the squad, like there's a lot of people from crypto in Texas that people do not realize. So like we were putting all of our brains together. So it should be fun.
Yeah, Texas is a big haven. I kind of like having this I kind of like having my screen here in the background so I can just pull up the Mog video and we can have.
Yeah, that is nice.
Oh,
actually.
Oh, my God. Can you hear that?
I cannot hear it now.
OK, I'm going to mute it because I can hear it. And that shit is real loud.
Actually, you know what? This is kind of a nice little touch here.
Yeah, it fits in well with our weird synthwave raccoon stuff. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's giving me a little bit of,
you know,
epilepsy.
Crazy? I just asked them to give me a video to like put in front of the videos. I wish they gave me this.
Well, so the issue is that they have a video guy, you know, he cooks pretty hard, but it takes a while. It takes a while for a non-professional media outlet to put something together like this.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at this now and I'm starting to learn more and more about video editing from our own media guy.
Oh, this is complicated.
Right. And there's a lot going on here, right? This is not one of those CapCut shitter videos that you knock together on your iPhone where you just like, you know, you slap in like 30 different photo assets and you kind of pan and tilt between them all. Like there are some serious plugins going on.
I might steal this as like part of it, at least like a 10, 15 second bit of it to put in front of the. And so like the way I have it now, I have like a 5 to 10 second little clip thing for Mog that I'm going to put in front of likely this video and the one prior to this one. That's like sponsored by or powered by whatever. But going forward, I might just steal theirs and because this looks cooler.
Yeah, they've got some other one. They've got another really funny one. Did you ever see the Trump one that they did? I wish that I could share the audio with you too over it because it's so much funnier with the audio. And I'm going to go here and I'm going to search for their... I'm going to search for their media and I'm not going to find anything other than, yeah, let's just, let,
just the emoji.
Say, I'm looking for
it's
a video.
Be the fucking cat emoji.
It's
just,
right. It's going to be 6 million of these cat emoji things. And this is another thing that's kind of fun about Mogcoin is like, you know, there's a whole cat coin meme coin meta going on right now.
Yeah.
But nobody like sees, they don't understand that Mog is like the original cat coin, right?
Yes.
They're all like, what about Mew on base? And it's like, they somehow missed that the Joy Cat coin is the OG cat coin.
Bozos.
So you have all these people putting together, and it's weird, you know, like meme, this sounds bizarre. Like if you're not in crypto and you hear somebody talking about the cat coin thesis, you're just like, okay, like what is this like serious, man? Grow the fuck up. And I hear you. I understand you. However, it is likely one of those things that's going to make money, right? Like,
oh, for sure. I mean, Popcat's doing great. It's like the first coin that it's like leading
Mew
the
Mew is doing great.
Right,
Popcat's
now.
Doing great. I mean, during the period when those are doing, like, Mog was also like pumping. I think
Popcat's at like 60 cents now.
I think Mog is the coin. Is Popcat really at 60 cents?
Yeah.
That's one of those coins that I owned when it was like 0.00000. Like, I bought within like the first 3 days of Popcat, and I sold for like a 3x, and I was like, wow, I'm a genius. And now I'm like looking back sales, like,
Like the target has been raised for, like, people are like, oh, this could be like a whiff 2.0, right? And if that's the case, it can go to like $8-$9 or something stupid like that.
That is so bad. I mean, it's great for everyone invested in it. It's so bad for my mental health because
I bought back into it during this past like downturn because it went down to like 10 cents and I was like, oh, easy peasy. Let's do
it. A lot of it is that I was buying this stuff during effectively like not like the bear, but like when we were like nobody was really convinced yet that we were fully in a bull market. So like our market cap targets were like, you know, if people were saying like it's going to go to 100 million, they were like, holy shit. That's insane, right? And now it's like 100 million is nothing, right?
Nothing, yeah.
So we've like, the bar has been super raised across the board.
Yeah, now we're thinking like, oh, this is Doge 2.0. Like Whiff is probably like Solana Doge. So they're like, oh, you know, maybe it goes to like 50 bill or something.
God, it's so rough. Was it this one?
Ooh, that's cool.
One.
Oh, I'm definitely, that's the one I'm stealing. It's just because the branding's stronger.
Yeah, they got good stuff. They got their media guy. And this is what I'm realizing now, because we've got Mitch for our media stuff, right? Like we've got Mitch doing stuff for Ox. We're gradually building out. We're getting him a team of Clipper guys, technical guys and stuff. He's basically going technical director mode. And we are, you know, like he knows how to do all this stuff, but it's very unproductive to have him handling all of the day to day minutia. So we are just fully building out a media studio involving the like GPU assets, the Clipper guys, all of these things, caption people, like the effects adders, so that we can just go absolutely ham with this stuff. And this is, I think, kind of what crypto needs, right? Because a lot of guys in crypto who can hammer these out. Like, even if you look at the Mog videos, they take, like, months to come up with, like, a new one of these before they start using it.
I mean, look how many, like, novel assets are in this, though. Like,
Right. And that's this is the big thing, like, is we now just are getting a guy who can do the 3D Blender stuff. Because the 3D VFX are the... that's what we probably need
for
crypto.
I wish I had the patience for this. Because this is such a cool skill to have, but I just do not have the patience for this.
Oh, I'm so glad that I don't have... I mean, dude, we have Mitch, bro.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But, like, it would be cool to, like... Yeah, we have Mitch. That's why we outsource, because that's not...
What we like to do is sit in a call, and we like to brainstorm funny skits and creative... So, like, we like to think about... And, like, we're like, oh, like, imagine you have a jet fighter and the cats in the air, and then you cut to, like, a smashing through a train, and then the chart going up, but it's down, but it's, like, all this stuff. Yeah. That's what I want to do. That's what I like. Like,
I'm an idea guy.
That's exactly... And it's, like, I understand the meme of the ideas guy, right? It's like that one graphic where you have like, oh, like I'm an ideas guy, bro. And he's coming up with like, what if we did Uber, but on the blockchain and like all of this other stupid stuff. But it's like, you know, at this point, I'm willing to say actually that my ideas are not bad because they've been consistently panning out pretty well.
I seem to be one part idea guy, one part middleman. Liaison.
All I know is I'm not a technical guy. I can grind it out. I can do it, but
it's not for
not
me.
A great use of my skills here, if we're being honest.
Yeah. I'm trying to lean more into the middleman. Broker.
That's where I like to sit too. I like to be just the gravity well, right? Like where you don't even necessarily have to do stuff, but you just chill there and you attract in enough people who normally don't get along, but then they do get along because they don't want to piss you off. And they realize, oh, I like working with this other group of people who I normally would hate because, like, you know, like this was my issue when I first came to Twitter was all these people would get like, oh, Lucas, like you like talking to this other group of people. I hate them. Like you can't be trusted because you're associating with this other group of people, this other group chat that's evil and bad. Right. And now they're realizing, oh, like you actually can't create any sort of large business or corporation without like a different type of person, right? You can't have all exclusively the same guy and expect it to work out, you know?
It's concentric circles. You dominate a small niche and you grow out.
Yeah.
But like, and, like surrounding it.
An island composed of 10,000 of me would never work, right? Like it would be a total, it would be a total fail destination. Nobody would go there to have their weddings. They would starve within like 6 weeks. It just wouldn't work. But if you have like an island composed of everyone that I talk to, it would become like a world superpower within 6 months. And it would learn how to create nuclear fission probably within the first 2 weeks. Fusion would be four weeks down the line. We would start powering Bitcoin miners with some sort of like illegal zero point module energy extraction that we farm by like, collecting enough Oracle women and bodybuilders in a circle and just summoning the divine insight of God. Smell-o-vision,
it'll be there. We were promised Smell-o-vision hundreds of years ago. And where is it? It's on Lucas's Island.
I don't know if after nuclear fission, but it'll definitely.
I feel like Smell-o-vision might be harder than nuclear fission, low key. I feel like
it's certainly more of an art thing, right?
Yeah, but they don't know what like the base unit of smell is. There's not really one, but like kind of like how there's like, you know, vibrations or for hearing and this for that. Like they don't really, they can like, you know, approximate smell with like mixing chemicals and shit, but there's not like they just have like a smell thing. You know what I'm talking about? You get it?
Yeah, sort
anyway,
of.
Anyway, point of
I mean, I know that it's like a bunch of volatile organic compounds that would need to be pulled up, and that's hard to do. And they're weird combinations, right? Like there's an art to getting them right, you know, in the same way that like you can smell the difference between a well-cooked steak and like a fucked up steak, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that subtle. Like the difference between like how long and where you've applied the heat to the outside of the steak is going to impact the volatile compounds flying off of the thing.
Yeah. And then here's the thing too, like, even though we've, as a species, we have weaker smell than every other animal. It's just like a very old part of like the brain, right? Like smell is like primary organ for a lot of like,
oh, this
a
is
lot
one.
Of animals. So like it's just a very complicated high like information sense that we just don't have like full comprehension of. But yeah, it'd be like that. Anyway, I want smell-o-vision. It's the point of this. I won't believe in simulation theory until we at least get smell-o-vision. And then I can start. Then we can start talking about, oh, we're in a simulation. I feel like there's so much the processing on that alone. This is base reality for that reason alone. Anyway.
Yeah.
Dude,
I wish I could play this music somehow. I need to learn how to use OBS better. I'm still at a level that is below the average 13-year-old video game streamer.
Listen, we were not able to do anything before, so...
Right, the fact that progress. I can even show you what's on my screen right now should be taken as some sort of like a miracle, right? Like, I am such a technically incompetent boomer that the fact that I am now broadcasting my video feed to you, this is probably...
It deserves credit. It deserves much credit.
Yeah, listen, yeah, yeah.
6 months ago, we definitely couldn't do this. We were trying. It wasn't like we've been trying actively to make OBS work for legit 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. So. And we got... So this video, dude, when Bitcoin broke 50K and I was like turbo long and I had told everybody, I am so fucking turbo long right now when we were at like 48 and we like... We just kept crushing every level. I was awake for like probably 3 days, just bombing stimulants, longing the piss out of every red candle, just blasting this, like this specific video and the sound in the background. So it's now like I can hear this 48 second clip background music and it will evoke such like a dopamine response in me. Like, you know how if you, there's certain like rave songs that if you hear now, it like makes the fuzzies from like Molly like reappear.
Oh yeah.
I have like that impact with this song and it's like, but it's like stronger because it was like, that was like a month ago, right? Or like 3 months ago or something.
It's also very stimulating.
Right. Yeah. 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 Like this is all the zoomer like twitchy, like fully tie you in video editing techniques, all of the engagement, like, you know, like every 7 point, it's not even 7.2 seconds. It's like every 1.6 seconds, we get an entirely new scene. The colors flash. Like if you manage to look off of this video, you have such a dopamine depletion, man. Like if this can't capture your attention, you are so blown out.
Yeah. And also, it's not even a full song. It's the, you're just like, no, this 48 seconds. That's what
it's doing. That's the thing. It's the TikTok thing. Like it's literally TikTok, the build up 15 seconds before the hook and then the hook. And that's then it just need. Keeps going over. Like I was like absolutely dopamine crushing my brain, man. Just pouring the hook relentlessly for 72 hours into my brain while watching my net worth go up by just like insane amounts sitting there just like, that's and every speaker, like it wasn't just my computers that I had this on. Like I had, it was playing from my phone when I went to the grocery store.
Oh, that's
like,
it was playing
from Bluetooth speakers when I was upstairs. Like it was just over and over and over. I did not go away.
I do
in this specific 48 seconds.
Now I understand why you just like went off the grid for a while. Cause that's that right. Was the, yeah, that's tough. That's crazy.
Like, I, that's and like, then do you understand like also why when we were at like 56, I said like, I'm burned out. Like,
yeah,
I have no much. There's no more dopamine I can give you guys. I gave it my all. My receptors are fried. I'm going to need 1 month in the woods, Ted Kaczynski style, to like refresh my shit and become a human again, because I've fully like subsumed myself into the Zoomer collective network. Right. Like,
just fucking you become Borg.
Yeah, like I've reached the level where like there's no amount of stimulus that could reach me, right? I could be hyper engagement maxed, like VR porn would be unable to make me look at it for more than 2 seconds.
Yeah, you reached like Goontopia, like you reached like fucking max.
And I did it without a single sexual element. I did it just solely through financial yeah. gains, right?
Yeah, you went to the goon cave of financial blossoming. That's powerful.
Like I made so much money in that 3-day period that it was like coming constantly, right? Like, you know, when Arnold Schwarzenegger was talking about the movie? Pumping Iron, right? He talked about how I'm so happy because I feel like I'm coming all the time, because that's what having a pump is like, right? That's what having a bicep pump is
like.
That's
what having
like
a Bitcoin pump is like.
And this is my Jewish version of that. I made so much money that it felt like I was coming all the time, right? I'm not, it wasn't the bodybuilding coming, it was Jewish coming.
I like that. That's powerful. This is a motivational speech. This is like, okay, this is like affirm the market is going to pump. I will goon without touching my wiener.
Yeah, yeah. I unfortunately, speaking of the market pumping, me and Mitch are doing like a trading competition for another show. And I hilariously, the very first thing that I did.
What did you do?
Was I shorted Solana on this pump. And then we came down to, I was probably like,
and plus, instantly went back.
Plus 10%. Yeah. And then I closed. But I fucked up my close order, and so it only put in one Solana of closing.
Oh no.
And then it rebumped again. Yeah, so now we're up here.
Shorting the bottom of Solana. Listen, shorting Solana in a bull market.
I didn't short the bottom, bro. Check the screen. I literally shorted the top of the pump, and then I shorted it heavy enough that I would have made like 10% on the account. And then it pumped again. But I do think that we have to probably come down to 130. So I'll probably close out with only like -300 or something.
No shorting in a bull market.
That's the thing, man. We're doing a trading competition, and I'm not like Kyle and Sue are trading, and it's fun because they're picking different sectors to long, but like there's no thesis right now. I have no thesis right now. We're in giga chop mode. And so like Mitch was like, I'm going to long. And I was like, fuck, I'm just going to short, because it's not interesting if I compete against him and I just do the same thing that he does, but like more or less, right? Like if he's long and I'm like, oh, well, I'm less confident, so I'm going to long less. Everyone's like, that's boring.
Cringe.
It sucks. So I've got a short. And it's fine because like I don't really have like a directional thesis at this point, man. Like I think honestly, if we're going to look at what Bitcoin does here, I'll pull up the fucking chart a little bit.
You don't have a directional thesis? Thesis is up, brother.
I mean, thesis is up on the year, but it's like I could very easily see us getting back down to 53K or something like that. I personally
put that Heiken Ashi on the high time frame. That's all you need.
I can't even go back far enough to see what level we're on. I mean, we obviously bounced off the 56-ish level there. But like, this is the other thing. How many times do we have a massive sell-off move like that and we V-recover without coming back down to eventually revisit the bottom of the low?
Pretty often.
What do you mean? Like, do you see a single...
I mean, you mean like on a very short term? All right, sure.
Yeah, like...
There's usually some kind of retrace back to the level, yeah.
Yeah, so like, I think we're going... at least a little down in the short term before, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that was it. Maybe that was the big capitulation wick and we V recover. And, you know, Frank, it doesn't matter because, right, like I'm short, what are we? I'm short like 12, 13,000 Solana. I longed a bit of Bitcoin. I tried to long more Bitcoin, but I couldn't long more Bitcoin because my orders didn't hit on that one.
Wait, really?
Unfortunately.
Is Bitcoin pumping like that?
Bitcoin's not super pumping. I mean, this is mostly a Solana Bitcoin pump. Like, if you look at, let's see.
Yeah, yeah.
Solana Bitcoin going to become a trading show. We're going to become a trading show now that I know how to.
Now you know how to chart? Oh, no.
Now that I know how to pull charts up. I don't know how to chart. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But yeah, I looked at, you know, this is some pretty fucking goofy green shit we got going on the 1 hour, man. And yeah,
you're trying to, doing any shorting in this area is dastardly, but I respect your commitment to the bit.
I'm not necessarily in on shorting as much as like I wanted to pair trade. I like the way that I had it sized, I was going to have an equal Bitcoin long to my Solana short.
Yeah,
which still would have lost money. Well, actually, no, it wouldn't have because I did it like right fucking here-ish. And I frankly, like, this is a strong level in here. I could see us going back down, you know, here, somewhere in there. Anyway, though, the important thing is we got to do it for the bit, man. We got to do it for the bit. I don't care if I fucking lose. You know, it's like it's $500, right? Like how much spot Solana do I have? It's certainly more. It's certainly more than $12,000. So, I'm not super worried if I blow my ass out on this account because we'll just refund it and then we'll go back and now we are mirroring this shit. I'm showing
That's stressful.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, the mirror is good though because you can actually see the little podcast thing correctly. Oh no! Yeah.
Oh, I can see yours in the
like behind my head.
Oh yeah. If you move, it's funny that you put it so it's covered by your head. Literally
I thought it was bigger. It looks bigger in real life. That's what I have to say when I send girls with my dick as well. It looks much bigger in real life. So I can't, I thought it was more than applicable, but this, I don't know, 15 feet from end to end.
But it's like here, do we really want to be promoting ourselves or do we want to be promoting our loving sponsor? Because how much money have we gave ourselves from this podcast? Not a lot. Not a lot. Zero. How much money did Mog give us? More.
Much more.
Certainly more than we've given ourselves. Right. So,
We've yet to even buy the new computer. We've been talking about the new computer for a year.
What we did buy was the top of Ethereum.
That is true. We did buy the giga top of Ethereum. Speaking of
Ethereum, as it rockets with increasing velocity to $0 US, its fair market trading value, the fair market price of Ethereum.
It would be hilarious if that is literally the all time of Ethereum for the rest of like eternity.
Bro, did you hear Suzu on the podcast when he was talking about like, he said like, yeah, I mean, the thing with the markets right now, like I closed my Sol longs, I closed my Bitcoin longs. I'm still long Ethereum, right? You've got to be long Ethereum right now, but you've got to be long Ethereum knowing that it's going to go down. And that's crazy. Like, he's so fucking funny because he's the most bullish man in existence, but like somehow he will even like even his bull tardism can be like, you know, like it's a horseshoe where when you're so bullish you can actually become the world's greatest bear. Saying something like you have to be long even knowing that it's going down, like is that the world's most bullish statement or the world's most bearish statement? I literally don't know.
I can't tell. The thing about Ethereum, and I feel like this has always been like my idea about its price, is that as more L2s are created, especially when it makes it like base and things that people actually want to use, like what is the incentive for ETH mainnet to pump? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think the incentive is that like Ethereum, even on these L2s, is still the native token.
It is. Yeah, but I think does it affect the overall market cap of Ethereum?
I don't know. I don't know. Like this is the only thing where in crypto, usually what happens is you'll have like, you know, like the smart Solana guys all kind of agree with each other, right? Like if you look at 0x Mert, all of these, like all their Solana core devs, it's very, very rare that they argue with each other. Ethereum, though, it's so weird because I see all these guys who are really smart and they come on. And they say the most confident thing in the world, all this technical shit, they back it up with like infinite resources. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like he's smart. He said stuff that is, you know, he linked sources. I'm not going to click the links, but he did it at least. That shows a high degree of confidence. And then another guy who's like equally as smart comes in and says, no, dude, you're a fucking retard. Here's my links. And I'm like, oh, no. And then a third guy comes in and says, both of you are way more retarded than I am. Here's what's really going on. And it's just like, this is impossible for me to grasp because I don't know enough about the technicals behind any of this stuff to understand who could be right. And they all say totally different things in the sense of like, oh, this is good because it pumps the value of the Ether token. Or, oh, this is bad because it pumps the value of the Ether token. Or, oh, this is good because it increases centralization, but we're all going to go broke, right? And you're like, I don't know. I don't know what to think, right? And this is why I'm in the position right now of just like, I'm just holding my Ether because I don't. And you're also like, I don't know. I mean, my thesis is a lot like what Sue's is in that it's where everybody goes after they have moved money into crypto and like Bitcoin is done pump. Like at some point it has to be an Ether pump. And we've learned that's by now, know, every time before the market has a dump, Ether pumps. The Ethereum Bitcoin ratio always pumps. There's going to be a time where that happens and the market doesn't dump or even the Ethereum goes up in dollar value as it dumps, right?
I vaguely remember last cycle ETH dragging behind everyone and then it just went crazy.
No, it was like last cycle, the exact same thing happened. Everyone was sitting here making fun of ETH, calling it the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
And then it just ripped face, right? Mm-hmm. Like there was a period where you blinked and ETH went from like 900 to like 4,800.
Yeah, I do remember this actually. I'm going to have to keep it, right? You know, like whatever. Also, like as like more of these airdrops happen, like, you know, as Frentech is allegedly today, Grass is happening. As more of those bigger ones happen that people have been anticipating, you want it on ETH, right? Because you know your value is going to be like ETH is going to be around bear market, bull market. Doesn't really matter. Like Solana is dead during the bear market. Like people are using ETH in the bear market still. So like people feel fairly confident about keeping their money on that chain and that the protocols are still going to work. So I'm largely, I mean, like long-term bullish, but
ETH is like the only chain that people actually trust if we're being serious, right? Like,
yeah, for the
most part, people will move fairly decent amounts of, they will move fairly decent amounts of money on, Jesus, my alarm went off for my marketing meeting that I hope was changed. Let me check that real quick, actually. But like they'll move fairly large amounts of money on Solana, but like if you look where all the big boys are custodying their funds, like it's Bitcoin or it's ETH, you know? Like nobody has like 90% of their net worth on Solana if they're worth like 50 million.
Yeah, very true. Yeah,
and
people are
it's
willing
because,
to put like millions
the shit
of dollars
can just,
on
the
ETH.
Shit can just break, bro. Like Ethereum sucks and I hate it, but like the more that I go off and the more that I venture off into other chains, the more that I am forced to accept. I shit on Ethereum all the time. The fees suck. It's an unusable piece of garbage. It does like 30 transactions per second or some like unusably low number. But it never once has broken on me. I've never once thought like I will just be trapped, right? It's always like if I want to spend more money, I can make it work. If I want to gas my transaction up higher, I can at least escape, right? Whereas on Solana, there have flat out been times where like I'm trying to sell.
Solana's
right.
Off.
And it's like, yeah, and you're like, oh, well, I guess I just can't do this now. And then the price goes from one thing to like literally like 90% lower and you're like, oh, now I can sell now that it's 90% lower. And when this happens to like a normie for the first time, like when your average like frat guy or like mom or someone who's trading on Solana experiences for the first time this thing where you're just like, oh, it doesn't work, you know?
Yeah,
it like rubs you on like, your entire understanding of crypto.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, I think that's like kind of the it's safety. It's the safety. It's the most, like, I don't know if it's the most secure per se, but it's definitely the one that we have the most trust in for sure. Like, people will put millions of dollars on ETH and not be worried that it won't be there tomorrow. Even if ETH goes down, like, companies will keep their entire treasure in ETH, right? They'll keep, like, they might split it between ETH and USDC or whatever the fuck for the sake of, like, hedging, but they're willing to put their entire treasury on Ethereum. And that speaks volumes. You'll never see a company that's pinned on basically any other chain. You might see it on like L2 on ETH, sure, but that's it at most.
But it'll be like bass or something.
Yeah,
right?
It'll be like
where
bass,
it's like, yeah,
maybe Arbitrum. Nah, never Arbitrum. What am I talking about? Maybe
people
Arbitrum
did do it with Arbitrum a little
for
bit
a second there. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, like I used Arbitrum as my custody layer when I had like 10k total on chain.
Yeah,
but like again, I had
people
10K
would probably do it for
base.
Like when base starts being really built out, people will feel confident about putting a lot of shit on base, likely. Because Coinbase, for all of its faults, is still reputable, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, the assumption basically, and it's the same thing with Athena, right? Like, where everybody's like, oh, well, like, Athena is probably going to explode and go to zero, right? Because the entire foundational basis of Ethereum or of Athena's yield comes from the fact that, like, they are raking in the inverse funding rate on Ethereum across all perps exchanges, right?
Uh-huh.
And what happens when the market crashes?
GG.
Funding rate goes negative. So like that yield will go away at some point when the music stops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when everybody realizes that we're going down and they all start shorting, Athena yield disappears entirely. However, nobody gives a shit. Because,
yeah, because it's not gone right now.
Yeah, and because by the time that it all goes to zero, it's a little bit of like a who cares situation, because you're going to have bigger problems than your Athena USD yield decreasing by 30%, right? Like the entire market will be God candling down, right? You're going to be negative 80% on every asset you're holding. The last thing you're going to be thinking about is, oh, my stablecoin yield. Oh, although maybe, yeah, I'm wrong. Do you remember last cycle when everybody was like, they were like, dude, all this DeFi stuff, I can't wait for the bear market when I'm just going to be farming stable yield for 120% APR.
Yeah, that was dumb.
That was so freaking fun. I had a post actually during the time saying like, I'm so excited that all of us are going to, you know, at least when we suffer the drawdown, we'll be able to make it all back from our high stablecoin APR yields that I'm totally sure won't decrease at all once all of us pile out of our coins and into the stables, right? And
yeah,
everyone responded saying like, oh no, like this was actually my plan. And I was like,
that's so funny.
You didn't think about what happens when the stable market cap, like when you get diluted by 100x because everyone else is doing it. You like failed to add that little factor into your calculations, sir.
Yeah, they I mean, that's like the bull market hysteria. Like people are just kind of fucking, I don't know. You get like, even smart people, you just get like locked in fucking delusion. It's just like part of the, you have, when your money just goes up indefinitely, you're just like, oh yeah, sure. It's always going to go up. Even when it's going down, it's going to go up. And how can anything else happen?
Truly. You know? Truly.
Speaking, I was just looking at the Frentech airdrop, seeing if it seems like it's getting going.
Oh wait, are we doing that? We're gonna make $10 billion on the Frentech airdrop.
Possibly. Well, you are at least. I have some money, but I'm not sure. Also, I think the podcast has some money. I don't know how many points it has.
Like, so awesome.
I mean, I have some.
My one fuck up though, like, I will say, right now, look, I should have used my Frentech money. At the time, I thought it was a genius because I made like a handful of Ethereum off of Frentech, but I pulled it off the platform and I held it.
Yeah.
And instead of reinvesting it in people's things and farming, yeah, points, right? And once again, it's being proven that the farmers are the Giga Chads. The people who shipped like 200 Ethereum into Frentech specifically to farm other people's points and stuff, I think those guys are unironically going to make millions of dollars, yeah, on this airdrop.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like Anson's about to make the fattest bag of his life off of this shit.
Anson is going to get an actual seven-figure airdrop.
It looks like the entire app is password thing, so I think they're doing some kind of update for the airdrop, so that's good.
Yeah, they're doing something very... I mean, you know, like, again, Racer's not a dumb guy, right? Racer's a very smart guy, and everyone said, oh, well, the problem with Frentech is that the bonding curve is too strong, right? Like... You know, because
that
it
was the fun part.
Thing.
That was the best part of Frentech. What are you talking about?
Well, okay. I mean, the issue though was awesome. That like at some point Ansem's room key now costs like 4 Ethereum, and then the next person to buy, it's going to cost like 5.2 Ethereum, right? Like it increased by such a large amount incrementally,
yeah,
that every additional purchase would bump up the price by like literally like $4,000. And then when you sell that, it goes back down to four. So you would have to be confident that there were going to be multiple people buying after you at like $20,000 a room key in order to get in. And buying at $20,000 when you know that there are also people who purchased at like $20 is a very hard that's a hard ask. Not just 20. You know that there were people who purchased at 17 cents. So right. And everyone gave that criticism. And it makes sense. However, their suggestion was, well, why doesn't Racer just change the bonding curve? It's so easy. You can't just fucking change the bonding curve, dude, because now all the people who have purchased the $20,000 a token are going to kill you. Because
what if you simply bought earlier?
Have people considered this?
It's like you can't rug your biggest users out of hundreds of millions of dollars and say like, I know that you bought it at this price, but I'm going to lower the price by 80% for everyone else.
Don't change the bonding curve. Just be like, you buy earlier next time. That's the answer. Like, you know,
he also built out for a given user base, and the user base expanded far past what he expected.
Yes, exactly.
So that's why the bonding curve was fucked up.
Victim of their own success.
Yeah, like he hit a home run, and he was basing all of his calculations off of a given user base, and he just far outpaced that. So he went too hard as a Giga Chad, and you know, it's rough.
Listen, it was great for me. I mean, it's great for anyone really. You can farm. You were able to farm some good money off of that. But anyway, hopefully this airdrop lives up to the hype. I feel like it will, though. I feel like it might be one of them.
I think he's going to change the meta. I think the new airdrop meta is going to be like I think we're going to go away from this like extremely high float, high FDV, like L2 farming airdrop shit, where the whole point is, oh, well, just take your $8 million and stake it in Eigenlayer, and then we'll give you some percentage of the Eigenlayer token that's only valued because we have such a high TVL that we've achieved based on like tricking you into blocking $5 billion, right?
Yeah, it's stupid. That shit is dumb. Like, they can't even fucking give it to anyone. Like, only half the countries are accepted, and like it's VPN gated too. So like, if you're using a VPN, it's fucked.
The big problem with a lot of this stuff though is,
I've ever seen in my life.
And I think that people are starting to realize this now is when you optimize for getting pumped by like VCs and stuff, it's actually worse than like getting influencers in crypto Twitter to pump you. Like everyone shits on like the KOL rounds, the air quotes, key opinion leader rounds. It basically just is, it's like influencer rounds, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, fundamentally, you can get a lot more bang for your buck giving influencers a buy-in, right?
Yes.
Because most influencers are poor as shit compared to venture capital funds, and they have similar outreach and ability to influence people as these VCs do. So you can go and get like some poor ass influencer, right? Like you can go and get like the Lucas shill, and you don't have to pay them $100 million for it, right?
Exactly,
like you can have like some hyper dedicated guy who's going to go out and do threads for you for 8 billion years for the rest of his life because you gave him like 2x his net worth and you only paid him like $5,000.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So whereas when you try this shit with the venture capital VCs, guys, they have such big funds to deploy now. They have such they have so much capital to toss at stuff, and they want to get such a high multiple because a lot of them are coming from the position of what they dealt with last cycle, where they would get in super early and it was like every single seed that they invested in was like an expected 10 or 20X, right? Like every single one. And you don't really see that now. Like a lot of times people are actually they're not able to make it out with a profit after they're vesting.
Yes. I mean, I think that might change if they continue to hold. But I still think we're earlier than we think.
Founders now are more like Giga Chads, right? They're not just like giving away massive portions of their token supply to like predatory VCs way.
People know they're keeping a lot more
for themselves, and they are they got more sharkish.
I would agree with that. Yeah, people have seen a few cycles of people getting wrecked. So yeah. Also, like if you give out too much of your shit to VCs, then your coin gets fucking shit on when the vesting ends anyway. So it's not
You frankly don't have to do it. You know,
you don't have to do it. Yeah. you make more money with the community launches and like the, like that's what the FriendTech thing is. Like they're giving out the entire, that whole like equity supply or whatever the fuck, I can't remember what they called it, to like the all the users instead of like any like investors or anything like that. It's just like, I guess it's like a fair distribution. Is that effectively, that's probably a good way.
I mean, that's why it. Meme coins are, because people will say, oh wow, like the fucking the meme coin was sniped 80% of the supply at launch, and it's like, yeah, Eigenlayer has a 98% float or some retard shit, right? So the 80% insider sniped meme coin is still substantially less dangerous.
Better, yeah.
Because
which is insane to think
because
about,
it's still yeah. somehow less float.
That's actually really funny to think about. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And like, you know, like no one can really stop the sniping. Like, but again, like these high FDV tech things. Although here, I will say this. I think that everybody has become so bullish on meme coins because of everybody understanding this thesis that it's sort of become midwit. And I think we are going to have like a run for all of the tech protocols. I don't know which tech protocols it's going to be. But like we've been too much in this like jaded, nihilistic market area where everyone is just like, no, dude, like memes are the ultimate technology. And like I am a big meme coin guy.
It does get,
you know,
like
a lot of what
right.
we're building out with OxFund is because we believe that meme coins are going to be like a key pillar of everything that's going on this cycle. But like, I don't think that tech is just dead forever. I do think we're still going to have the tech sector bubbles.
I could see like the AI coins. I mean, that's how that stuff started.
I really don't want it to be the fucking AI shit again.
It's
going to
be the but you
so
know it's going to be the AI shit.
I honestly could see it being more like
it's not going to be any
security stuff
protocol.
Or even like weird yeah. ecosystem plays than
security stuff. Like what? I can't even think of a security,
some sort of like weird privacy shit, you know? Or like real world assets. Like I see that one super sending. I see RWAs.
Yeah, if we get
really
like tokenized real world assets, like that's how I always like thought that crypto would get its foot in the door with normies. I didn't realize meme coins would be the answer, but I always thought it'd be like, oh, you know, like make real estate mortgages more viable, or
yeah, like on-chain mortgage contracts or something.
Yeah,
like
shit
that.
Like that. I think
right, so you can literally like put like a house up for bid and allow people to just, you know,
trade it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
If someone figures that out, I mean, that's like a massive. That's like such a useful,
like people are working on that shit.
I know for sure, but there's a lot of like red tape.
But like,
there's a lot of red tape and stuff because you have to deal with. Like,
there's quite a lot of red tape. The big issue is also just that like. Once people enter into the crypto ecosystem, it's very rare that they're like, I want to do like responsible things, you know? It's that's like true, in the yeah. same way, we were watching this video on YouTube from this guy who was making a, he made a video where he said like, oh, like I made using ChatGPT like an AI arbitrage bot that made 0.55 ETH in 2 days. And I saw it and I was like, this video has like, 1,200 views, even though he promoted it, because that's not big enough. Like once you're in crypto, the numbers that you need to be throwing at people to attract them into your like weird casino video, you can't be saying I made 0.55 ETH. You have to be saying, like, if you're gonna do that, you should at the very least represent it in dollars, right? Like instead of 0.55 yeah. ETH, say that you made like $1,700 or however much that is. But like secondly, you can't, like, it's just too small. You have to say that you made like 12,000 or 18, because like even the bots that tag me every day, like every time I mention crypto anywhere on Twitter, there are like 45 crypto bots that respond to me and say like, this is my yield strategy that's been giving me 38 Ethereum per week or something like that. So like that's now my mental dopamine baseline. If you want to impress me, you have to go even higher. And it's like, I understand that
triple
even
digits
that,
are bust, bitch.
Yeah, like I understand that even 38, like they're lying. It's not real, right? But like you can't capture broad normie attention by being honest. Nobody knows where the line of honesty is. People in crypto are, especially the new people, it's like either you are so experienced and jaded that you're not going to click these ads at all because you know they're all fake, or you are so new and virginal that you think every single claim is real and you're just going to click on whatever one has the highest number.
Yeah. I mean, it's also mostly just like Indians clicking it, like literally in India.
Yeah.
So hopefully no one in America is doing that. Though
no,
I did
they
get
are.
I almost got wrecked once.
I'm watching the Solana price increase and It's so funny that I literally, like, I went and we were streaming and I called
I
out.
I told you. I was like, it might just go up forever, brother.
Well, it's only gone up 60 cents. I'm being exaggeratory.
When I was doing my perp trading, Solana was one of those things where, like, it used to recover, like, vertical. Nowadays, it's slower because there's more money in it, but, like, I still feel like Solana recovers very fast when
it's also recover. Like it's going like this is a flag if I've ever
yeah,
seen
it's a
one
flag
brother.
For sure.
Like this bitch wants no to pullbacks. Fucking teleport.
No pullbacks, only up. Vertical accumulation.
Wouldn't it be super funny for me to just flip bias right now, just reverse this entire thing, just market
I think
buy
it not only would be funny
much.
It would be the correct answer, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like usually when things Solana
that's
specifically
such a flag, bro, that's the biggest fucking bull flag that is going vertical. That is
Solana specifically though, it actually like it fakes you out on the bull flags more than most any other coin. This is why I shorted it here yesterday, was because I knew that like Solana usually when it looks like, because again, like I was shorting it at fucking this, right? Like that yeah. looks really good. That's that on mm-hmm. most coins, that would be a really fucking scary thing to short.
That's true, yeah.
But I did it because Solana uniquely, when it does this, will usually approach the level, die off a bit, and then go for a big turbo send, right? Yeah. So I did, and I perfectly called it. And I said on stream, I think what I should do is short 134 and buy 129. And then I like fumbled somehow. I don't even know if I like canceled my order, but it's like I had some hit, but it was one, and I don't know. Like I have to go back and review.
It could have been a limit a limit buy, I guess, and then it just didn't fill all the way. Right, but it was like, a market buy.
It traded below here. I know,
but with limits don't necessarily like markets will if it's trading below.
I understand that, but I'm saying that more volume than was in my position was filled at a lower price than my position. So I don't, I don't fully like if I go back and I go and scroll way through here. There were people trading like hundreds of Solana at a lower price than where my order was. So I think I probably screwed something up, and I just have to go back and watch what happens on stream. But yeah, this does look gnarly. And frankly, like we already did the fake out thing. We don't usually do the same meme breakout thing twice in a row. I would be very unsurprised if we just giga sent right now. And like, frankly, I think the smart thing to do would be to de-risk a little bit here. I'm not going to do that though, because tomorrow I'm going to record again. And what we're going to do is we're going to sit there and Mitch is going to say, haha, like I'm a genius. And, I'm going to say, I am an idiot. I am the dumbest and worst trader of all time, which is good because that's good content. And it's also funny because it gives us the ability to do what I always do, which is say, you heard it here, folks. I called the play perfectly. I said, sell here, buy here. And then I failed to do that. And now I'm somehow down, despite the fact my position was like $1,000 in the green for like half a day, right?
Mm-hmm. I like it. For content, you gotta do it for the bit.
You got to do it for the bit, right? And especially if you're doing, and I like my content can't be that I am trading with enough money here because it's like I started with like a 10K account. It's simply not big enough that people are going to be pulled in by the numbers I'm throwing around, right?
You're doing the Gainsy method of clout farming where Gainsy only posts his losses and not his wins.
Yeah, I'm being hyper honest. This is the one thing that you get with Lucas, right? You're not going to get... you're not going to get any sort of insane skill or talent, but you will get absolute honesty.
honesty.
You know that it's honest because if I was lying, just everything would be so much less bad.
Also, you are showing your entire screen right now, so they can see that there's at least some level of truth to it.
Yeah, maybe it's like a demo account or something, and like Sue and Kyle are helping me fake it so that I can...
People used to do that. That actually was a big thing in like 2017 market.
They do, but it's like they wouldn't fake losing money. They wouldn't fake losing $500 because it's not enough money to be exciting and also bad. Nobody this is the other fucking thing. We opened a trading vault, and what I want to get them to do, I want to let people 100% like counter trade me, right? Because like this is the thing. Like it's dumb, but if you find someone who consistently loses money, you should be able to just 100% invert all their trades all the time. And it's better because then you cancel out each other's funding rates, right? So like,
oh, that's cool. That's true.
Right. So like, it's could perfect. If you just say, oh, Lucas is losing so much money. Like, I want people who want to bet against me to be able to just say like, yeah, like I will put money on Lucas being wrong. And I want them to be able to make money from that. It's genius.
That actually could be fun. I'm trying to think of, there's definitely people who are like, you could probably just do 100% inversion. And
yeah, the only issue is that overall I have actually been decently profitable for the last like 3 or 4 months. So I had a period of hyper profitability. I blew my ass out. I had a period of moderate profitability that went on for a very long time. And this is like my first like bad trade that I've made. And it's great because I did it like, again, super publicly.
You know,
on the
other
show,
thing that I could do, which is always nice, again, it guarantees your order gets filled. Right. Because they're always taking the other side of your order. Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like every time, and you can actually, there's a way that you could set it up where you could basically, you know, if I talk to Sue and Kyle, I could get them to set it up such that we would always do a limit order effectively, right? Like every order that I would place, if I had a one-to-one person on the other side, it would give both of us a limit order for the portion that was getting filled. So we wouldn't have to pay like trading fees. It would be
the other thing though, is that this is also like, there's going to be one time when this is like the means of a whale fucking instant dumping on with getting his entire order filled at the top. This is instant exit liquidity.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, anytime you give people the ability to automatically manage their funds by locking to you, there's going to be some way that you can fuck them, right? Like,
oh, yeah. Like, you're just going to have some big dick who's in a automatically lock to every small account and make infinite exit liquidity and just fucking massive like multi-million-dollar sell at the top.
Yeah. I mean, when I was like killing the leaderboard on this thing, the thing that like really fucked me up was somebody locked a ton of money in my vault that was like, it was like substantially more than the amount of money that I had. And they were trading the exact same way that I was. And when somebody else is going the same way as you and there's not a ton of liquidity on the exchange, it has a massive impact on the funding rate. So every time I would enter every position, it would push the funding rate to the maximum, which was like almost 1% per day, right? Yeah. So let's say I long Bitcoin with 100K. I'm now paying $1,000 a day on this position to keep it open. That's insane. It sucked. So I was like trying to figure out how to get these people out. You know, I was like, I raised my commission fee to like 50%. I started posting to everybody about like, I'm going to make bad trades now. Like I'm going to send it to zero. I'm doing worse already. Like I bought the top. I didn't intend to, but like, it looks like I bought it's going down. I'm not going to sell. Get the fuck out of my vault, please, sir. And because I couldn't delete the vault.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was.
And I couldn't move the money out of the exchange without closing all my positions, which would have slipped me a lot because they were like fairly large positions.
Yeah.
So I was like trapped with all these people who were copying me and pushing the funding rate way the fuck up. And
you gotta get that accounting calculator out for that one. Wait a second. So speaking of trading fees, you just reminded me that Fantasy is now on. Is it mainnet?
We are now on mainnet. Well, are we on Blast mainnet or are we just like...
It's Blast.
Yeah, I mean, because people say mainnet and they're always referring to the Ethereum L1, right?
Yeah, yeah. But
they keep saying mainnet and they're referring to Blast mainnet, which is like, I just want to clear that up for everybody listening because that is important and relevant.
But the thing about Fantasy, there's two things. It's very, very easy to build up ETH on this. I've played like all the older versions of the game in the beta. I guess it would have been the alpha.
Same. Right. We've both been, and I've been a big shill also. I didn't want to shill too hard because
but now they have like $100 million locked in their shit, so like we can chill now.
Yeah. That was the thing, is like I didn't want to shill like a beta too hard. I told everybody to sign up and I said to refer people because whenever there's an opportunity to get free something from referrals, and I don't know what the fucking
I have zero referrals by the way. So y'all like, should use my code.
Use referral code schizo_freak. And disregard versus I'm use talking my, over him because I'm an ass. I'm going to steal.
Use my referral code, please. I have zero. But anyway, so one, it's very easy to build up ETH on this. Like I playing the alpha, I built up like fat ass bags on Sepolia. I'm like, now I have a bunch of Sepolia ETH I don't need. But there's that. Two, if you become a hero, which they seem to be fucking scraping the gutter, the floor of Twitter. So if you just become a hero on Vanity, you start getting percentage of the volume of people trading your card.
Correct. So you get 1.5% of the trading volume of your card. And after approximately like 10 hours of being live, I was at like 20 Ethereum of volume, which gives me like a 1K payout for my card, right? So it's like if you want to post hard, and this is the great thing about Fantasy, right? So for those of you who don't know, Fantasy is basically like, it's a fantasy league, but for crypto Twitter posters. Yes, I understand that there's many of you out there saying that is the gayest thing I've ever heard, Lucas. You should kill yourself. However, the thing is, crypto Twitter is its own secluded niche community of people. They all know each other. They all like it's like a very insular thing that exists. There's a lot of money in it. There's a lot of people, you know, like there's tons of money. I don't understand how, but
tons of money in it. Yeah.
When I tweet about like coin shit for like 60 likes instead of doing like viral engagement baiting, my engagement literally goes down by like a factor of 20, but my ad revenue goes up by like a factor of 20. Like,
interesting.
It like will push you into a new tax bracket. I don't know what the fuck happened, but when I started posting about crypto Twitter, like my Twitter ad payouts became so substantial that they're just like covering my bills, utility, mortgage, Ansem, food.
That's why Ansem's fucking Twitter shit is like, he was posting fucking fat screenshots for his engagement.
Yeah, dude's pulling in like five figures like a month or something now. He doesn't even post them anymore because it just makes people mad at him.
Yeah. I mean, like,
all this is to say, crypto Twitter is a group of people where they have a few things, right? They have outsized desire to, like, fight. They have outsized belief that you should be able to say anything funny, regardless of how illegal or harmful it is. They have also outsized amounts of money relative to their real life experience, right? So you go on you go on crypto Twitter, you cultivate a following, and there are always going to be like insane ways to make money off of it. And now, like, you know, like before, it was like you would have to do some sort of like a scumbag like agreement, and then you take the tokens and you dump on your followers. And now people are just saying like, okay, we're going to release a protocol where you are like your own fantasy player league. And if people believe that your posts are going to do well relative to the field of other crypto Twitter influencers, they can buy your card. And then if you do well and they're correct on that bet, they can play your card in tournaments, and that will make them money.
Yeah.
Which is like, you don't even have to be a scumbag now. You can just be a whore, right? Like, you can just be a prostitute. Just, and like, I was already being a prostitute for like very low sums of money.
And it's not based on your actual like count either. It's based on impressions relative to your account size. So there's like some,
I don't know what it is actually. Cause I've
talked to them. It's impressions based on like, relative to it's engagement based on your account size. So like,
go and trim everyone out who's like an inactive user on my shit.
Effectively, like if you're a smaller account and you're getting outsized engagement, you go higher up the thing. Because I've been at the top of the leaderboards multiple times, and it's just because my account's not that big. It's big, but it's not like that big. So if I hit like a viral post that gets a few million impressions, that puts you at number one type shit.
I think they have a few different metrics that they use for it.
Yeah, there's a few things. It's like a formula or whatever. It has different.
But they also alternate it. That's the nice thing about them is they go around and they change it so that like you're not.
Yeah, it's just not locked on one person type.
Right.
Shit.
Yeah. Like they don't, because everyone has like different strategies, right? Like in one algorithm, it might favor someone who just, you know, like let's say I wanted to post 50 times a day now because it's.
Yeah.
You know, they're just rewarding flat out impressions. Then I could run that up. Everyone just starts spamming posts, replies, whatever. That's not great. But it might be for a week. And then maybe next week they change it to something else. And there's a lot of really fun ways that you can play with shit like this. But the important thing basically is that you can finally do something that I've wanted people to allow you to do forever, which is say, I want to be able to bet on who is a good poster, who is a good content creator, and who is going to outperform relative to the field, because I'm really fucking good at this. A lot of people are really good at this who are really bad at crypto, right? Like,
yes.
I'm talking to you about like charts and crypto and shit, and I'm showing you everything on my screen right now. None of my like actually profitable trades have been because of, I was like, oh, well, at the $134 support level or like that doesn't make me money. It will like allow me to like kind of grind stuff up a little if I really super try hard it. But the ways that I always make money are when I say like, this community has something that is going to allow it to propagate, and it understands media and marketing well enough that it is going to grow, or this has like a unique energy to it that is going to be inspirational. And if I can connect them with this other group, they're going to make something beautiful that will send. Nobody else has this thesis because nobody else knows how to connect them with this other group. Right. And that's something that your average person, I think, is a lot better at than speculating on charts and graphs and stuff. You know, and it also mm-hmm. allows women to come in and do this really well. And bringing women into any sphere is basically like an instant guaranteed, like huge exponential multiplier of the market yeah. cap, because you get a bunch of women in crypto Twitter and like they're the simps, loser tech guys will just follow, and they will follow with their big ass fang salaries and bags and shit.
Yep. That's who pays your bills. It's the e-girls with their fang salary simps. And I'm okay with that. Sometimes you gotta go where the money's at. But this being said, fantasy is probably like of all the social fi ones, like you know, like they all can make you a little bit of a bag. Like I feel like this is easier than Frentech.
I think Frentech V2 is going to be very good. I don't want to yeah. like I am in no ways getting down on this because Racer again very smart. I think he's going to set a new meta with the thing that he's doing of not allowing the VCs in and just saying it's a 100% community airdrop. I think that is going to like. I think that's basically going to change the way the airdrop token trades also. Like for I think sure. he's going to redefine an airdrop fractal. And I think VCs are going to see this and realize that it's actually good to just buy on the market, even if you don't get any, because like,
yeah, the money, you know, the price goes up.
And the other thing that VCs are going to do as a result of this is I think they're going to start understanding the importance of media presence. And what they're going to do is instead of using their capital to try and get in early rounds, I think they're going to start employing people who have media organizations yeah. to make media for them. Right. So maybe I'm wrong, but if I had to guess, starting a media company right now or maybe 6 months ago wouldn't be the worst.
Yeah, maybe Verse and Lucas start shilling for a VC soon. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. You or just know. Like anyone. I mean, we have the, you know, the Raccoon Media cabal at this point is
it's growing.
We're handling a lot of stuff, decently. Brother.
We are handling a lot of stuff. We're also growing slowly but surely. We're starting to make
With Mitch, dude, the stuff that we're scaling out for OxFun is like it's going fast. We have a lot of employees now. Like we have a high bandwidth. And like there's nobody else in crypto who can do media because like Mitch isn't like he's not like some guy who grew up on like right wing Twitter doing like Hitler AMV edits. Right. Like this is a guy who's done commercials for like Walmart and Target. And he's like worked for like big like he's good. So who else in crypto is bringing this firepower? Like look at the big names in crypto. It's like Bankless, like Laura Shin. Like they're all like. Like they're not like horrible people or something, but they're not bringing like big dick media firepower to the engine. These people don't have like 20-person, 500-person media engines. They don't have render engines. They don't have like they're just sort of like podcasters who've been around consistently producing stuff for a while, which is like
what you're saying.
That's
is
us.
We're gonna,
that's
we're
us. So I'm not that's the Verse and Lucas thing. So I'm not like shitting on it, but I'm just saying it's a very different thing. If you're going into like TradFi and you're looking at like the media that like BlackRock and its like associated companies are putting out.
Yeah, they want something a little bit more professional. Or at least a little.
The entire thing is different, right? It's like you have the commercial media side of things, but then they're also paying off like a bunch of influencers to do a bunch of stuff. And you know, they're creating like secret brand marketing if it's not like a product, because if it's not technically a product, you don't have to disclose that you're doing product advertising. And this is how all the political stuff works. You know, like the DNC goes and they can hire some random hot girl to promote them, not because, and then the girl doesn't have to disclose that she's being paid to do this because she's not shilling them a product.
Yeah.
She's shilling them like an ideology, right?
Yeah. Whoa, shilling an ideology. That's where we got to get the Virgil Lucas ideology. Bag Chasers Anonymous. We got
pouring yourself out
for money. Yeah.
Yeah.
we're turning tricks in the fucking gas station for a bag.
Yeah.
The online annals. We're doing online anal in the annals of the internet.
For an unfortunate phrasing, truly.
Yeah, listen.
I'm watching the Sol USD chart rocket straight down on my prediction that I should continue holding holding my short out. And
Actually good. That's right. You didn't change your direction.
Yeah, yeah. I'm That's why I didn't was because I was
I would love if it just fucking bump, right? This would be great for us for our clipping if this just goes like big red dildo.
I mean, it is right now. It's going up. We just, but it's like these moves that I'm talking about, like these are literally like, it's going from like $137 to like $137 and like 30 cents.
You're zoomed in on this chart. I don't usually like, I keep it at the, I'm between either the 5 minute or sorry, the 15 minute or the 4 hour. Like I have my four.
This is the 1 hour.
That's the 1 hour?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Shit. I got my PopCap 4 hour up. I keep that in the background at all times.
Well, the thing is, like, I don't like trading things other than the 4 hour or the 1 day. But like, because I'm doing this trading thing with Mitch, it's like we're recording like every 3 days, every 2 days for like hours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I kind of have to. I have to trade the short time frames because if I'm trading the daily chart and I'm recording every other day, it's like, what the fuck am I trading even? And again, it's like I shouldn't be trading now at all, right? Like if I were to recommend to myself, like, what are you going to do right now? It would be don't trade. That's really dumb. It's really dumb to be trading right now simply because the market is chopping. It's confusing, right? Like we're getting... Yes. We're not having it like it, there are no big directional moves. I think obviously overall it goes up, which is why I'm holding a bunch of spot just knowing, yeah, it's going to go up. We're post-halving. We're going to go up. But like in the short term, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing in the next fucking day. The trading stuff, it's all like for content, man. Like
for sure. Yeah.
My big perps positions are now like literally 1-to-1 hedged. Like I have like equivalent shorts to longs spread across multiple platforms such that like if there's a higher funding rate on one exchange, I will short it and I will long it on another with a lower funding. Like that's I am literally just delta neutral on my cumulative perps positions because I am so unconfident in where the market is going right now. I picked up some spot Bitcoin when we went under 60. I picked up some spot Bitcoin at like 57-ish.
We went under 60? When did we go under 60?
We're under 60 now, brother.
Are we really?
Yeah, we hit like 56 yesterday.
What?
This is what I'm saying, dude.
Chart, bro. I just hold. I haven't looked at the charts in a hot minute. Oh yeah, we're 58. Wow, that's crazy.
This is that was not bad. 58. I did this because I wanted to show somebody how to use an IOC order. So I have this funny like bottom tick arrow, but it's like I only purchased 0.0001 Bitcoin at that point just to show Mitch how to use an IOC.
Wait, what's an IOC?
I think I grabbed a little.
Oh, in case of?
It is immediate or cancel.
Immediate or cancel.
So it's basically placing a market order, but you lock in the price, right? And
yeah.
Doing a market order with big enough size is usually bad because you just slip the shit out of yourself. Yeah. If you do an IOC, you prevent yourself from getting slipped. So if you buy, like if I were to say like, oh, this guy's selling here. I want to click this. I want to buy one Bitcoin. I can go and I can buy it there. And I don't have to worry. Because it will either execute at exactly what I plug in or it won't execute. And it sucks because I still will have to pay the market order fee because I'm being a taker from the market.
Yeah, you're
right?
Still being like a taker, yeah.
He has the limit in. And then if he has a limit order placed and I take his limit order, then I have to pay the fee. If I place a limit order at a certain account size, I don't on Oxfund at least, I don't pay as much of a fee.
Yeah.
But the nice thing again is that like you don't get raped with the slippage, which really that's much worse than the fee that you're going to see on any exchange. If you make like a $1.5 million order on this exchange right now, if you try and drop that thing into the altcoin order books, you're going to wipe out like all of these bitches. Not on this one, not on Bitcoin. But if I were to go to like Jupiter or something like that, it's like, yeah, if I drop a $1.5 million market order into here, these are fucking gone.
So by the way, we have been messaged Alpha from a Rad Cat on Soul, official Radbro project launching on Soul in 20 minutes, which is now. So we could do a live buy here of a Soul. And I think that's an NFT.
Is it an, does it look good?
I don't know. We'll find out right now. Radbros.
Are you here? Send a link for me. I can't really type shit that well because I'm holding my mic in one hand and I'm mousing around with the other. So I've been, I'm
trying to find
myself.
Cats. There we go. Connect wallet. Let's see what they
this
look
is such
like.
A perfect fractal. And then you see that this was only one buy. Like, it was so perfect. I was such a giga chad. And then
it's a little thing. That's cute. This is,
it's a little plushy.
It's a little plushy that was being, that people were fucking around with, but I don't know how to get in here. Radcat's Nui Gurumi.
What do you think the chances are it doesn't bounce off of this bizarre yellow line? I don't even know what this indicator is. I just know that Oxfun...
You're kind of cute, actually. Let me show you.
Oxfun inserts this yellow line indicator into every single...
That's a moving average.
But it's like, it's the moving average over a certain date advanced by a certain number of days, right? Like, it's offset. There's some weird... Like, if I were to go and input my own... Right. So it's like it's a 20 day length and it starts on the close. It's offset zero. There's a smoothing algo and the smoothing length is 9. Right. So there's all these weird variables. So it's like a custom indicator of some sort that gets inserted. But it's always like it seems to be a very important yellow line. Right. Like it does well, you know, it came down here and it's like we did the retest of the yellow line. I should have been buying here. I was buying there, just not enough, right?
Not enough. You didn't buy with size.
We hit the yellow line. Like I could have said, we're probably going to bounce off the yellow line and gone down, right? It seems that it very rarely breaks through the yellow line. It's much more likely to bounce off of it. When you break off of it, it signals a trend shift. I don't know. I'm not an indicator guy. I don't even know why they picked these variables, but I think it would be really funny to just pick one like arbitrarily made indicator, like the fact that they inserted this one and then just say, I'm going to only trade based off of that. Like that's going to be the only thing that drives any of my positioning. And I'm going to use like the 1 hour time frame. And whenever it hits this, I'm going to buy. And whenever it comes down, I'm going to buy. And then when it goes up far enough away, I sell. And then if it breaks through, I kill my position when it gets within like 5% away from it or something. I don't know. Come up with some rule and then just like autistically trade the yellow line and see where it takes me.
I don't know what I was about to say. All right. So did you get the link to the thing?
No, where'd you send it?
I put it in the chat.
In the Zencaster chat.
Yeah. Right. So scroll down.
Oh no.
Scroll down.
Oh no.
No, keep scrolling. Like
this is the bottom.
Oh no! Press the cats then first. Press cats.
This
the
one
word cats. The word this, cats.
What?
Cats. The word cats. CATS.
Oh.
Well, yeah. There you go. Press that. Have we clicked it?
Yes.
Now scroll. Why is yours not working? That's all I did.
Do I need to connect my wallet?
Oh, that's probably what you need to do. Yeah. I could just send a screenshot though.
There we go.
You got it?
Yeah.
So scroll the cats.
Oh, these are quite goofy.
They're goofy. They're like based on a plushie. Oh, there we go. What the fuck?
When he gets older, he won't sound like this anymore, right?